You've got your 14th book coming out September 4th, Depth of Winter. What can you tell us about the book and this journey for Sheriff Longmire?
Well, it's a little bit different this time around. Like that, you know, we've had a culmination of a conflict, you know, between Walt and a fellow by the name of Tomas Bedard since the 9th book in the series, like at A Serpent's Tooth, like at, and it's a situation that's kind of developed, you know, between he and Walt, where the conflict has arisen to the point where he actually has taken Walt's daughter and kidnapped her, like at, and taken her to Mexico, like at, and is holding her there. And Walt finds himself in a desperate situation where to have to go after his daughter, like that he's pretty much on his own to a certain extent. And it's just one of those epic books, like every once in a while you got to work your way up to it. And last year's The Western Star, you know, was kind of, you know, got the ball rolling, like, but I needed the impetus of that book to continue on. And now it's time for Depth of Winter, like that, which is kind of Walt as an army of one heading into northern Mexico. And so it's a little bit different from the usual books, but I think that people will find it interesting.
Now, you have said in the past that many of the ideas for your books come from headlines. Was there a headline for Depth of Winter?
Actually, what it was a series of articles that I read in The Guardian that was about the violent, you know, culture of the narco society down there in northern Mexico. And I started reading about that, and I thought about the character of Tomas Bedard, of all the places, you know, where he might feel at home and actually thrive. It seemed to me that, you know, within the chaos and the violence, you know, of northern Mexico, that was probably where it was that he would come to roost. And he kind of made the mistake of taking Walt on in Absaroka County in Wyoming in A Serpent's Tooth. Like, and that didn't end very well for him because Walt had all of his resources and all of his accomplices to help him. But in this book, you know, Walt's kind of alone. You know, he's out of his county, he's out of his state, he's out of his country, and basically has to, you know, go find his way along in northern Mexico, which is a completely different world for him.
Now, it's kind of serendipitous that Mexico is part of this book, because we hear a lot of the headlines about concerns with Mexico, building a wall, bad hombres in Mexico. So Mexico being a character in this book is not that far of a stretch for headlines now.
No, not at all. Like that, and you know, with the situation being the way that it is down there, I mean, there's just so much chaos going on, like that. But you know, I mean, you can fall prey, like in a lot of ways, like at to you know, reading too much of the headlines, like at, and seeing the sensationalism of the situation and not seeing the people. I've gone to Mexico numerous times over the years, like at, and then actually went down and did, you know, some research, you know, for this particular book while I was in Mexico too. And you know, for me, like that, it's very important, you know, to see past those headlines, like at, to see the Mexican people as they are, like that, and also to try and, you know, give a realistic kind of interpretation of, you know, especially what it's like there on the border country in Juarez, right across the river, like from El Paso. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the big elements of the book is that, you know, the characters that you get to meet in this book are very, very different from the characters that you normally meet in a place like Wyoming or Montana. And that's one of the joys, I think, of writing a series of books is the opportunity to kind of, you know, get outside the envelope a little bit, stretch the envelope a little bit, and try and, you know, motivate the characters into places that maybe they're not particularly comfortable, but also allow them a certain amount of development. I think one of the biggest things that you can fall prey to, you know, whenever you're writing a series of books, is to start, you know, getting formulaic, where you just start repeating yourself as far as the characters are concerned or as far as the plot lines are concerned. And so this is quite a departure, but I think it's a departure that readers will enjoy.
How do you see Walt Longmire?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to see Walt Longmire. in what sense? In what sense? Do you mean physically? Do you mean emotionally, intellectually? Or how do you mean?
Is he a hero? When you write Walt, I mean, you have physical attributes of him being tall, that he played football, those things. How do you see him as a person?
Decent. That's always the word that comes to mind whenever I think of Wald. It's a word that's, you know, kind of antiquated, I suppose. You know, in modern society these days, it's just not heard that often like that. But, you know, when we were growing up, you know, one of the things our parents always, you know, admonished us with was, like, you know, to be decent, you know, to be a decent human being, you know, to care about other people, to make an effort, you know, along those lines, to be just a good person. And I think Wald is kind of emblematic of an awful lot of law enforcement, especially the sheriffs, you know, that we find in the high plains, like that. They're very concerned, you know, with the people in their counties. Whenever I do ride-alongs, you know, with a lot of the sheriffs in Wyoming and Montana, one of the phrases that I hear over and over again is, my people, my people, my people, like that. And there's a kinship there that I think that might be a little bit different from a lot of other forms of law enforcement, in the sense that, you know, people are giving you their vote. And so they feel connected to you. And there's a certain amount of responsibility that goes along with that. And I think Wald, you know, bears that responsibility, you know, very easily. I think it's something that he takes to quite easily. He has a code that he lives by, that he tries to do the right thing like that. And he gets up every morning and tries to do the job. You know, the way I describe Wald in the past is over. You know, he's overweight, he's overage, he's overly depressed, you know, but he still gets up in the morning and tries to do the job. And so in that sense, I think he bears a certain amount of resonance with a lot of readers and viewers, as being a regular guy who's just trying to do the right thing.
Are any of your characters based on real people?
Oh, my favorite quote about that is the one from Wallace Stegner on Writing and Teaching Fiction, where he says, the greatest piece of fiction ever written is the disclaimer at the beginning of every book that says nobody in this book is based off anybody alive or dead. Of course they are. And the difficulty with that is that I live in a state that has only 500,000 people in it. So if I stick somebody in my books from Gillette, you know, and I'm down doing a library event in Rock Springs, inevitably somebody will come over to me and say, is that so-and-so from up in Gillette in your third book? And I have to say, I can neither confirm nor deny that, maybe the person that you just mentioned. And it's even, like, worse, you know, because, I mean, you know, the books have a lot of Native involvement. And, you know, where my ranch is located, just to the north, is the Northern Cheyenne and the Crow Reservation. Well, there are only 5,000 enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne tribe. And it's, you know, I'm not fooling anybody whenever I stick any of them in the books. And it's kind of nice, like that, because the books have been very popular on the res along with the television show, to the point where now there are lots of people up on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation who claim to be characters in my books that I've never met. And I think that's kind of, you know, complimentary, I think, in the long run.
Now, you travel a lot. You've got your book promotion coming up in September, but you also go overseas. How do readers in Germany, France, England see the West that you've created in your books?
Well, I think one of the reasons with the popularity of the books in foreign languages, well, first of all, it's always going to be, you're always going to be victim to how good your translation is. If you've got a good publisher and a good translator, you get a good book. If you don't, you get a bad book. And I've been extraordinarily fortunate to be partnered up with a lot of really wonderful foreign publishers. But I think it's it might not even be what it is they're responding to in the books as much as what they're responding against in the books. There are an awful lot of stereotypes and cliches about, you know, the American West. A lot of times, like, they've been inundated, you know, with a lot of the Western movies, the Western television shows, the Western books like that. But, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do is trying to break up some of those cliches and stereotypes and try and do something different, you know, with the characters, like, so that they're a little bit more multidimensional, that they have a sense of humor, you know, not only about the world but about themselves. And that's something a little bit different from what they're used to. With a lot of the pulp, you know, more pulp-oriented, you know, kind of Westerns. And they get to see the characters, you know, more as real people. And they get to see the place as more of a real place, you know, rather than just backdrop and setting, you know, for some epic romantic American vision. Instead, there's more of a reality that they get to respond to, and they seem to respond to it quite well.
There is a lot of humor in your books. Does humor come easy to you?
I hope it does, you know. My wife sometimes doesn't think I'm very funny at all. Like it's so it's according to the audience, I think. But yeah, for me, that's one of the big elements of the books, and in a number of different ways. The first one is that I get a lot of law enforcement that contact me about the books, and one of the things that they really enjoy is the humor that's in the books. And anybody that's ever had a difficult job knows that the only way that you make it through the day is by having a sense of humor. At the end of the day, you're either going to laugh or you're going to cry, and I know which one I'd rather do. I think also it's an empathetic quality. I think that, you know, who do you like hanging around with? Who do you like spending time with? People that make you laugh. You know, for me, that's an essential element to the books, you know, because I want all of my characters to have, you know, varying degrees of a sense of humor. At the beginning of the book, there's a part where, you know, Walt finds out that the indiscriminate vehicle that they're going to be taking down into Mexico, like into the narco culture and into these very dangerous territories, is a 1959 Cadillac convertible, bright pink in color. And the guy that's driving the car asks Walt, he says, yeah, well, do you have any more questions? And Walt says, yeah, how much Mary Kay did you have to sell to get this thing anyway? And I think it's also one of the situations where if you ratchet up the tension in the storyline and there is violence, like at which there is a great deal of violence in this book, simply because it's impossible to write a book about narco culture in northern Mexico and make it a cozy, that, you know, you're going to have ways to relieve that tension. You know, for the reader, you know, you can't just have a slow, strong grind of violence and mayhem all the way through to the end. I suppose you could, but I would find that a very boring book. And so the way that you break it up, the way that you, you know, find a release for that tension is by implementing the humor, you know, of the characters.
How many more Longmire books are there in you?
I don't know. How many years do you think I got left? I'm 57 now. Like to think I got a good 20, 30 books left in me in the greater scope of things. I got to admit, I really enjoy writing the Walt Longmire books. I mean, I've got other books, you know, that I've started. I've got a psychological thriller, and I've got a historical western, and a couple of other pieces that I've started. Like that. But as far as series go and as far as mysteries go, Walt pretty much gives me all of the, you know, opportunities that I want in developing the characters and exploring ideas and, you know, social issues and all those type of things. And I like to think also that people like reading the books, you know, or watching the TV show for the same reasons that, you know, that I enjoy writing the books or that they enjoy making the TV show, and that Walt's just good company. I'm always ready to climb in the truck and see where he's headed and what's going to happen.
What's it like meeting your fans? You have a lot of appearances at bookstores. I know you've got some coming up the tail end of September in Billings and Bozeman. Are you ever surprised by what people ask when you're at these events?
Always. I'm always amazed. I guess, first of all, by how invested that they are in the characters and in this world. I mean, we've got a little event down here in Buffalo, Wyoming, where, you know, which is kind of the model for Durant, you know, in Johnson County, kind of the model for Absaroka County. And once a summer, you know, we have the cast from the television show up, and I'm there, and about 15,000 people, and it's every bit of, you know, the disaster that you are imagining right now, and in the sense that there are no hotel rooms for 90 miles around, no food, you know, at the restaurants and grocery stores, you know, no, you know, money in any of the banks or ATM machines like that. And it's just stunning to me. It's just absolutely stunning to me that people are that invested. I mean, I would hope that that's the case, because I'm putting everything I can into these books, and I want people to get the most out of them that they possibly can. But, you know, how can you not be humbled and stunned, you know, when you walk into the Country Bookshelf there in Bozeman and there are 200 people sitting there waiting for you to walk in? That just, I don't ever want to lose the thrill. I don't ever want to lose the magnificence of that kind of attention. You know, it's just amazing to me.
Well, thank you, Craig Johnson. Your 14th book, Death of Winter, coming out September 4th. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, dear.